Ready? Start!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the inaugural episode of the TMG Cast, or TimG Cast, as we call it. Before we get into the meat of the show, we'd like to take a moment to explain to you guys the purpose of our podcast and the website. With both themoderngamer.com and the TimG Cast, we will attempt to cover all aspects and angles of the gaming industry, competitive gaming, hardware, software, and the gaming community, all that stuff. The TimG Cast, not TMG, it's TimG, will be a place for both serious discussion about the industry at large and humorous chatter about really odd topics. Every Tuesday and uploaded on Wednesday, we will try and record the latest and greatest for your hearing pleasure. I'm your host, Nathan. With me today are Oscar.
Yeah.
And Jamie.
Hi.
So, here we are, guys. It's been a long time, but we're finally here. We're recording the first episode. How's it feel?
Finally.
Long overdue. Long overdue.
It's been a long time.
About long time coming.
Long time coming, but yeah, let's
sounds so, like what I literally I'm like in bed.
Okay.
Good, yes. Good start. Okay, so first thing we're gonna get to is gamer updates. What have we been playing? So we'll start with Oscar. What have you been playing lately?
Well, I just started the campaign to Modern Warfare 3 last night, but other than that I've been playing a lot of Team Fortress 2 and Unepic.
Okay, well, that's a little foreshadow there. I'm going to talk about that.
Hell yeah.
Jamie, how about you? What have you been playing?
Well, because of college, I only really have time for TF2. So that's really it.
I mean, like, why not talk a little bit about what happened on TF2 for those people that don't know recently? You know, both of you. I didn't really get to play it that much. But, you know.
Halloween.
Halloween update. That fucking eye.
Yeah, the
binoculars.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know that Team Fortress 2 is a competitive FPS game, class based. But this week, what they did was instead of just pitting people against each other, or not this week, last few weeks, they had this Halloween event where the players could actually fight against this boss, which was an eyeball. And they've been doing it for the last few Halloweens. But just recently they did the eyeball. It's supposed to be the demo man's eyeball. And
all right.
Did you guys like the event? Was it actually pretty
cool? It was fun up until people didn't care about it.
Yeah.
They would just fight each other instead of fighting the eye.
Yeah, and I haven't beaten the eye yet, and I doubt I'll be able to.
I mean,
because I'm pretty sure it's going to be gone soon, right?
It is gone already.
It's gone already?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I haven't beat the eye.
Well, do you think this is something that, like, they could expand upon in the future? I mean, there's already different mods on servers. There's a Saxton Hale mod where there's a character from the TF2 lore named Saxton Hale, and players compete or fight against him. I mean, do you think this is something they'll continue to mess around with where, you know, kind of bringing in – this is another foreshadow to something else we'll talk about – kind of bringing in a single player and a multiplayer experience in the same, you know –
because it's fun, you know, like if you have friends to play with. If you're just playing with a bunch of like assholes, you know, like the usual multiplayer community, then it kind of ruins it because you want to like finish the objective, which is
but
like
people are assholes.
Yeah, people are assholes, so you're just like, well, all right.
Yeah, that's often how it ends up happening, which kind of sucks. But you know, occasionally you get into that server with the fun people. You know what I mean?
With the bros.
Bros. So I guess that leaves me. What are you playing,
Nathan?
I'm playing Sonic Generations right now. I'm playing a lot of that. I'm gonna hopefully review that soon. It's fun. I'm surprised that it's fun.
Yeah.
It looks pretty. It sounds nice. The music's awesome. As corny as the Sonic music is, it's actually pretty cool. Other than that, me and Oscar both beat Uncharted 3 recently.
Yeah,
so that's kind of been...
Not together.
At the same time. Yeah. We both held the controller. I've been playing some Battlefield 3. Some NBA 2K12. I'm a sports nerd too. So been playing that a lot. I mean, other than that, just been waiting. Because there's a lot of good games coming out. Just been waiting for games to play. So, yeah. Next up, we have a little segment called TMG Leaderboards. And in this segment, we're going to talk about, rather than something like a top five, you know, solidifying, you know, overall, which is the best. You know, I want this section to be about which is each person's personal favorite thing around a certain topic. So this week's topic is boss battle. So what's your personal favorite boss battle? And I'm going to start with Jamie. What's your personal favorite boss battle?
When Kingdom Hearts 2 came out back in what, 2008?
Something like
that. Was it?
Seven,
really? when Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, Roxas versus Axel was and kind of still is my favorite boss battle, because being a giant Kingdom Hearts fan, I loved the first time you were able to use two Keyblades.
It's mind-blowing, because you could never do
it
that
was, before. It was... I know, it's just... It's simple. He's dual-wielding Keyblades, but at the time...
Kimbo Keyblade.
But at the time, it was just a really, really... really cool thing to see, especially as a big fan.
And especially since, you know, a lot of people probably at the point that fight comes up, you know, you're kind of getting sick of Roxas.
I actually like Roxas.
I don't, so. See, a lot of people say, you know, in Kingdom Hearts 2 that they were kind of disappointed because as soon as you start up the game, you're not playing as, you know, the main character.
And that's true. There's like a 3-hour intro with just him, but he totally made up for it by having two Keyblades.
And I mean, Axel's a really cool character too. The introduction of him is alone, you know, warrants that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so Oscar, what's your favorite boss battle?
My favorite boss battle, it's gonna be the end game boss for Majora's Mask.
It is pretty cool.
It's an amazing fight. See, if you guys have been paying attention to my weekly articles, you know that I wrote about underwhelming bosses. This is an overwhelming boss because there was so many things going on at the same time. Because, you know, you see Majora's Mask at the beginning of the game, you go to that other world, and then finally when you're powerful enough to go finally, you know, confront Majora's Mask and save, you know, the village from fucking the moon, you finally get to, quote, play with Majora's Mask. And she tells you is that you have weak masks. And then she's like, well, do you still want to go? And, you know, being the masochist that everyone was at that time, you're just like, yeah, I'm going to fight you and die. But, yeah, because boss has three stages to him. In between one of those stages, you fight the masks of all the bosses you fought in the game in the dungeons. And it's just a fun boss battle. Like, it's difficult, it's fun, it's fair, it's unfair. Just everything you want in a boss battle just combined into that one fight.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, the Zelda series does boss battles correctly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, from the beginning ones, you know, where you're weak and you don't know what you're doing, till the end, you know, where you have all your powers and just demolish them, but, you know, it's still difficult, you know? They do it right. They do it right.
Yeah.
Is that it?
You?
Me? My personal favorite boss battle, I guess, in more or less of battle and more experience, is Scarecrow from Arkham Asylum. You know, everyone, and a lot of people know that Scarecrow's thing is the whole fear powder, and he uses that to manipulate his victims. And in the game, the first fight with Scarecrow, it kind of just pops out of nowhere. You're, you know, I think you're just walking through some building, and then you walk out of this hall, and then it's just this, it seems never unending, and you just walk down, and slowly, like, rain starts falling in this room, and it starts transforming, and the next thing you know, it's Batman walking down this hallway, and it's Gotham City, an alleyway, and he sees his parents at the end of the hallway dead. and he starts like freaking out, and then he has all these like memories about, you know, his parents dying and everything, and that part alone was like so like trippy to me. It was such a weird, you know, it just kind of popped, like I said, it popped out of nowhere. You know, there wasn't like, oh no, Scarecrow's coming to get you. It was just, you know, that happened, and then you jump into like a little sneaking session where you have to get past Scarecrow and then shine the bat symbol on him.
Yeah, and what's cool about one of the parts I like about that with Scarecrow is that boss battle literally like almost lasts the entire game, because you fight him like four separate times in the game.
Yeah, that's another thing, and every time you do it, it's another trippy thing. Like,
yeah,
I think actually that the whole seeing his parents at the end of a hallway thing is actually the second time. I think the first time
you're in like
a morgue or something.
Yeah,
and you see your parents dead
in body bags.
That part really had me frightened.
Yeah,
I knew what was gonna happen. I did not want to open those bags.
And then isn't the last bag like himself? It's like,
no, what? It's a Scarecrow.
Oh yeah, Scarecrow.
I kind of just idled around in the room, like walking in circles, like I know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and then I think the third one is like, what is it? Is it where the introduction of the game is flipped, or is that the last one? Either way, Scarecrow from Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham Asylum, is very, it's just, rather than just the actual core boss fight, because I mean, you don't really fight him hand to hand, really. You know, like I said, the actual fighting him comes in sneaking, like you sneak past and you shine the light on him. Other than that, you know, the experience was actually what, like, was one of the biggest things for me that Arkham Asylum did right. It was really cool.
Yep.
So moving on. Let's get into some headlines, some news, some gaming news. So what we'll do here, you know, every Tuesday we'll try and gather some of the biggest news from the week past and the week coming, and we'll just go through each one and, you know, talk about what's going on.
Yeah, we're going to go into the future, bring back headlines from next week,
and we'll do that.
Bring them to you,
because we care about you that much.
So, I'm willing to risk paradoxes for you guys.
So I think one of the big, well, I don't know, kind of just one of those headlines. Something came out today, I think.
I don't know. It's an indie game?
I think so.
You probably never heard of it.
I think it's like MW3. It's like,
yeah, I think it's like Call of Duty.
Call of Duty
Motherwares 3.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
No, but seriously though, Modern Warfare 3 is out. It's out there. So now the internal battle is officially started. Modern Warfare 3 or Battlefield 3? No, but yeah, it's definitely a huge thing for the gaming industry. As regardless of how people feel about the series, you know, that series is definitely one of the big ones for the industry as a whole.
Yes.
You can.
There's a lot of frat boys in this world.
Weren't like a bunch of copies stolen?
Yeah, like that. I mean, that's just a sign of how big this game is. Earlier this week, I think about, what was it, 6,000 copies?
6,000 copies got stolen?
That probably sounds a lot. I'm probably really off, but it was something. It was a lot of copies.
It was three copies, everyone.
No, it was very, like, the way they reported it, it sounded very like movie heist. Like the guy, the truck with
the Italian job.
Pretty much, that's what they were reporting. That
they loaded cases into their Mini Coopers.
Yeah,
they were chased down by a helicopter.
There was a truck that was going down, and you know, the next thing you know, like one truck crashes into the side of it, and the other one gets in front of it, so it can't leave. And then they gut in, they take the copies, and then they get out of there. You know, it's like, whoa, what the hell?
Crazy.
Yeah, and at first they didn't know what it was. They just said it was copies of some entertainment thing, and then they said, yeah, it's Modern Warfare 3. And just to think that the professional thieves will go to those lengths to get a video game. Yeah, that's the kind of...
You sure they're professional?
They got away with it. I don't think they've been caught yet, so...
I think I saw on eBay a copy of Modern Warfare 3 was sold for like $7,500 like 3 days before release.
Oh, man.
Some people just can't wait.
That is just ridiculous. Shit. When the game is already $60 and people often debate if it's, you know, paying $60 for games already, you know, and then people are going to pay that much for it. But I mean, at the same time, it's hard to ignore Modern Warfare 3's sales and stuff. I mean, analysts are already predicting that this game is going to get, is going to make $1.1 billion with a B, $1.1 billion in a six week period. Just what?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, like video games, you know, Modern Warfare 2 was the, at the time, the biggest entertainment release of all time. It beat, like, Titanic, and it beat Batman. It was the biggest one. Like, no one else had reached that level in movies, other games. You know, it just hadn't been done. And this looks to be even, you know, just multiplied by 10. Because the pre-orders, I think, was the largest number of pre-orders for a game. So, I don't know, man. We were streaming it last night. TMG was streaming. It was... We had a few people in there. It was a fun time. And I mean, the game actually looks, I was actually expecting it to be a lot worse. I mean, that not because I hate Call of Duty, this is dumb. But I just felt like, from what I've seen, I really wasn't that impressed. And then the stream last night, I was just really impressed with what I saw. The game actually looks to be full of a lot of content, you know?
Yeah.
And the critics seem to agree. I mean, so far, it's got about a 90. It's a 90 on Metacritic. So, I don't know. You know, compared to Battlefield 3, which is 89. So, I mean, you can debate about the game all day, which one's better. But, you know, we'll save that for some other time. The one thing I do want to point out is that the game's launch was actually really smooth. I remember when Battlefield 3 first came out. There were some issues with servers and stuff not being up and shutting down and everything. But Modern Warfare 3 actually was pretty smooth. And, you know, they do it right. Like, you guys saw the ads, right? The veteran and the noob.
Yeah,
I think, yeah.
Yeah, the marketing campaign that they run is always good. I mean, last year we had, you know, the everyday people playing was it Black Ops?
Yeah, Black Ops.
Yeah, the everyday people playing Black Ops. And, you know, that was fun and funny. It was entertaining. And now this one had, like, Sam Worthington, who did the voice for Black Ops and was an avatar, and Jonah Hill, the weird skinny, used to be fat. That's so confusing to me. I can't
skinny fat man.
I can't grasp that. And so they capitalize on that, you know, two famous people, put them in a commercial. That was actually kind of funny, and it's pretty cool. So, I mean, yeah, you can't ignore Modern Warfare 3 as much as we try to, as much as we go,
I think I could... No.
I enjoy Call of Duty. I just rage a lot.
No, yeah, and I mean, this is something you touched on that you didn't like, and it has already been announced. Wait, let me back up. I forgot to do this. In the introduction, I should have said that Oscar and Jamie and I all write weekly articles. Oscar writes Why Me Wednesday, which is where he rants about video games and how they anger him. how he actually hates video games.
Yeah. I don't know why I play them.
You play them just to hate them.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what we all do. That's what it seems like, you know, in this industry. You know, people play video games and all we do is complain about that.
People aren't happy anymore.
We don't even enjoy. Why can't you just sit down and smile and just go, you know what, this is fun.
Because video games, that's why.
Anyways, Jamie does Toy Box Thursday, which is where he takes, you know, gaming-related figurines and statues and kind of writes a little, almost like a review, and kind of lets people see that, you know, toys aren't for little kids.
Sometimes.
No, not at all. Never. No, yeah, but...
toys are for adults.
They're not toys, they're action figures. And then I write Theoretical Tuesday. I should have done it in order, but nah.
Yeah.
I write Theoretical Tuesday, where I write about different theories I have about the industry and game stories and narratives and stuff like that. So why I bring that up is because something that was already announced about the Call of Duty series that Oscar touched upon in a previous Why Me Wednesday was that Call of Duty has already been confirmed for next year. Another Call of Duty game already confirmed.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be another heist. I wonder if they're going to just
already.
Do this every year.
No, already. They're already going to Activision right now. They're getting ready. They're just going to take as soon as they start programming.
They take the, like, the alpha versions of the game.
And another game that was announced for next year already, Ubisoft already announced that there is going to be another Assassin's Creed title next year.
Ooh,
already.
Yay.
They're going to do this annually?
I guess it's been like that. With it went from Assassin's Creed 2, the Brotherhood, now Revelations, which is coming out in a week or so, and then this next game coming out.
Great. Yeah, that's great.
Time to segue. Talking about Revelations coming out next week, we got a ton of amazing games coming out in the next, you know, this weekend, next week. So let's just go through them. Got Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim.
Saints Row the Third.
We got Skyward Sword.
And Super Mario Land 3D.
And like I said, Assassin's Creed Revelations. I mean, there's a ton of games coming out. And Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3 just came out. Battlefield 3 just came out. You know, Arkham City came out like last month. Uncharted 3 just came out.
So many things.
Wallets are empty.
Winter is here.
Yeah, winter is officially here. You know, we're getting to the shitstorm. You know, it's ridiculous.
We're gonna get your wish list ready, folks. Blankets, coffee, hot chocolate, and video games.
Coffee and hot chocolate.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm gonna put you guys in this quest. A little question.
Doing it live.
Pop quiz.
Okay. If you had to choose just one of the games coming out this winter, which one would it be? Which game? Just one. You can only play one. Which one is it?
Can I never play the other ones?
Not until next winter.
Oh, shit.
When the other shitstorm comes.
God damn it. Then we have to choose one, then two. probably Skyrim.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one of those games you're going to get a lot of playtime in, and it's going to be one of those games that will survive because of, like, you know, PC gamers can mod it and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely I'm still debating, so I'm going to toss it to Jamie before I come up with my answer.
Super Mario Land 3D.
Yeah, see? Man, Jamie, you're so predictable.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I've never played an Elder Scrolls game.
Okay.
Like ever.
You're dumb, but... No, you should. You should.
Yeah, you really should.
Well, I don't know if I want to now with all this elitism going around here.
Well, God. Be part of the elitists.
Yeah, join us. Join us. Every other game, dumb.
Questing.
Fine.
So no, but seriously, what would be the game and why? I want a why.
You want a why?
Yeah. Why?
Oh shit. Probably because, like I said, Skyward Sword. Because just because I've never really played Elder Scrolls and I've never really taken that much of an interest in a lot of Mario games, Skyward Sword would seem like the obvious choice to myself because it's the one I have with, you know, at least some interest in. Mm. And it takes me forever to beat a Zelda game anyway.
How long have you been in Twilight Princess?
Shut the fuck up.
It's been like 3 years, I think, on Twilight Princess, so he'll definitely get some fun out of Skyward Sword.
Yep.
Let's see. Because Oscar said Skyrim, I won't say Skyrim. So for me, it'd be between Saints Row, and it would be between Saints Row and Assassin's Creed. See, I don't. If there's gonna be another Assassin's Creed next year, and I skip out on this one, I'll feel weird. So I might go with Assassin's Creed because, you know, that story is just awesome, and I want to see if, you know, Ezio dies or something or whatever happens with his character because
he gets shot.
He goes to the future and then he teams up with Desmond.
They call him a pansy because he's wearing like robes and shit and he gets shot.
Yeah, he lands in San Francisco and gets along fine with everyone.
He makes friends
because they're friendly. Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Friendly people. God. But yeah, that'd be my game. Another thing about Saints Row that I just heard today is that Saints Row the Third requires an online pass for co-op play and another game mode called Horde or something. So yeah, that sucks. Online pass thing is really starting to annoy me.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because, I mean, I personally am someone who rents a lot of games from Gamefly. And, you know, I pay a lot for Gamefly. So I actually would love it if I could play the games, you know, online when I rent them the way I want to. So, I mean, the fact that they're taking away from the gamers is kind of lame to me because they're not paying the full price for a game.
Yeah.
And it's not just the people that rent games, it's the people that buy the games used.
Used.
So that's, I don't know, it's... Especially...
How much does a...
Today's economy...
I think it's $10.
$10 for another pass?
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't even offer the pass to buy. Like, you have to buy the game free sometimes. So...
I don't really?
Know. Alright, that's a... I'm just saying.
Is it free?
Fuck out of my ass. So, yeah.
Yeah. Online pass?
I don't know.
Pretty messed up.
Another thing that happened today, there's a limited edition Zelda 3DS bundle coming out in Europe. The 3DS looks amazing. It's got a little Triforce on it. It's got the little Zelda.
I need it.
It's got ocarinas on the corners and.
Someone give me that for Christmas. One of you listeners, give me that for Christmas.
Little harpy harps on it, and
one of you European listeners.
Little harpy harps.
Yeah.
And it comes with a copy of Ocarina of Time 3D. Would that be something?
No, it doesn't.
Hey, man. You know, as I know, all of us don't have 3DSs, so would this be something that entices you enough to actually buy a 3DS?
If I was in Europe, yeah.
Well, I mean, it sounds like, you know, usually they'll port those over, but we don't know. But if it does come to San Diego, or San Diego.
just exclusive to San Diego.
No, if it does come to the U.S., would that be something that would entice you to actually buy, you know?
Yeah, I'd probably get it.
Yeah, because...
Awkward silences. No, I
like if I had a Wii, I'd buy the limited edition Skyward Sword because the golden controller.
That's true. I am actually concerned. Well, at the same time, though, do you think people? I heard on another podcast recently that, you know, they feel that Nintendo is kind of playing it really stupid right now because there have been like 5 games released by Nintendo on the Wii this year, like 5, and the Wii U is coming out, and I understand, you know, they're gearing up for that, but at the same time, don't you think they should be focusing on the Wii, and do you think that people are less encouraged to actually buy these, you know, Wii games and the Wii, because the Wii U is coming so soon?
Yeah, I don't think like what would be the point of buying a Wii game now when the Wii U is coming so soon?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying, you know, with these, like, Kirby just came out. You know, and now Zelda's coming out. So I mean, they're trying to get, you know, enough interest in it. But at the same time, if the Wii U can play Wii games, I'll just wait.
Sure.
I won't buy a Wii if, like, because I don't have a Wii. I wouldn't buy a Wii right now. I wouldn't do that because the Wii U is so close.
I'm gonna buy 3 Wiis.
It'd be like buying. Remember when I did this? When I bought Rock Band when Rock Band 2 was coming out, like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, like a month or so later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad choice. So, I mean, do you guys have any other headlines going on? I mean, those are some of the biggest things right now. You know, Modern Warfare 3 obviously is a huge, huge thing, and we're going to talk a little bit about it in the next section. But, I mean, is there anything else you guys can think of that is happening in the gaming world these days that you want to talk about?
Some old games came out recently. Like Chrono Cross came out on PSN, I think, today.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think Final Fantasy 5 and 6 are coming out in December on PSN.
And that's so, those are big games. You know, all those games.
Yeah, like if you haven't played them yet and you really, really want to, you could probably spare $10 to play them.
Sony, where the hell is Tomba? I want Tomba.
Where is Tomba?
I want Tomba. I want Tomba on my PlayStation.
Very, very good choice to put on PlayStation Network. Don't know why it's not yet.
Speaking of old games that are now being put on, you know, systems and stuff, Indigo Prophecy, the, like, spiritual little brother to Heavy Rain is now on goodoldgames.com. So you guys should pick that up. It's a really, really fun game. It gets really weird in the second half. But it's definitely worth playing.
Shh, no spoilers.
It gets weird, though, okay? It just gets really weird. Yeah, so anything else, guys? Any big news? Just can't wait to talk about.
Speaking of Indigo Prophecy, everyone go play Eternal Darkness on the GameCube. Just going to throw that out there.
We just talked about not wanting to get Wii because the Wii is coming out.
It's a GameCube game.
And you talked about the GameCube.
So go find that in your bargain bins.
Okay, so what we'll move on to now is something called the Great Objection. Obviously, we take the objection part from Phoenix Wright, where they debate about things. Yeah? Is that good?
Sounds stupid.
Hey. So every week we're going to debate about just a controversial topic or something really dumb. Either way, we'll debate about it because that's how we are. That's how we do it. So today
we'll argue about anything.
That's fun. Like, yeah. Today we're going to debate about the importance of single player in games versus the importance of multiplayer. This really started out the other day when I was talking about Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3. The discussion started because I was saying that I believe that Modern Warfare 3 would be the more complete package compared to Battlefield 3, because Battlefield 3 single player was almost an afterthought compared to the multiplayer, and that the game was very multiplayer heavy, while Modern Warfare 3 has always been a game that's actually pretty balanced, you know, between single player and multiplayer in terms of quality and, you know, time invested in them. Well, no, because people play the multiplayer for like days, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. So the one of the other TMG staff was saying that multiplayer is going to be the industry's focus for the next few. It's going to turn from that, and single player is going to be tuned out. And I completely disagree. Single player is just too big of a component. You know, it's there's entire games like Skyrim and, you know, Zelda and Saints Row the Third. All those three games that we said we want to play the most, and Assassin's Creed, their focus is single player. You know, there's huge markets for those games. While at the same time, you know, games like Call of Duty and Battlefield do get a lot of sales. You can't ignore the other guys. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts before I start ranting on it? I mean, how do you have single player versus multiplayer?
See, to me, single player is still the main aspect of the game. But I like to sit down and enjoy, like, almost a movie-like experience when I play a game rather than hearing a bunch of 12-year-olds yell at me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, see, that's like, single player is to sit you down and show you a story.
Yeah, and I mean, is that not the intention of a lot of developers when they first want to break into the industry?
Yeah, to tell you an epic of a story.
Because, I mean, the first time, you know, these guys were inspired because they had played a game that would, you know, engage them so much that they go, you know what, I want to do that. You know, it's not because they sat there and played, you know, Modern Warfare and was amazed by how great of a story was told by the 12-year-olds they fought. You know what I mean? And at the same time, I understand something. Before I get into that, Jamie, what do you think?
Because, like, the single player, it showcases the developer's hard work, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Like they're really...
But you can't say that they don't put hard work into the multiplayer either, because that is pretty tough stuff.
It is. But, like, single player, like Oscar said, you get to sit down and you get to, like, take it all in. And, like you said, like, man, I want to do that. I want to make something like this happen. But, like, I don't know, for like... It's not. How do I say? Like, you know, like games like Warhawk.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't really need a single player to be like great. I mean, I love Warhawk. That didn't have like an ounce of single player whatsoever, and I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, and
Team Fortress 2 is a good example of a good multiplayer game that doesn't need a single player.
Yeah, and you know, Battlefield started out without a single player. It was only when they brought it to the consoles that they added a single player to it. And I mean, there's definitely a place for multiplayer, And it definitely is being, you know, highly, it's something very important to the industry right now. But I also think that you can't say that single player is going to die. There's just no way. There's no way that you can phase out an entire portion of a game.
And like some people can't even use multiplayer. Like some people, like I know we live in this day and age where everyone has the freaking internet, but there are some people who just don't.
Yeah.
Who have what? What's an internet?
But I mean, I do see that, you know, these multiplayer games, you know, Battlefield 3 sold 5 million copies in the first week. Call of Duty is going to blow that out of the water with its sales numbers. And I mean, I understand that these games are, you know, the hot ticket, you know, it's important. And the multiplayer, the idea of multiplayer is being implemented in more games, you know, you see it. But at the same time, I don't want to, the way that people are trying to make multiplayer to be, you know, it's so important where games nowadays, like, just tack on a multiplayer just to be like, hey, you know, we got one, you know? There's people that, because there's too many consumers that say, you know, oh, Call of Duty and Battlefield, you know, those are the high-selling games. They have multiplayer. So let me see this game, Okami, you know, one of those great classic games for the PS2 and the Wii, you know? Oh, let me see. Does this have multiplayer? Oh, no? Okay, not going to play it. You know what I mean? Like, that's how much the overall industry has put so much importance in multiplayer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think this is my solution. Find a better way to synthesize the two. Because like we were talking earlier with Team Fortress. Team Fortress 2, you know, the boss fights. It's kind of a nice synthesis. A single player and multiplayer.
Or, you know, an even better solution, just work equally as hard as the multiplayer that you do on single player.
Yeah.
Have two great things in one video game. Yeah.
And I mean, and market them the same way, like, because it's not, I feel like so many people care about the multiplayer more than the single player because those are the things that get talked about. You know, talk more about the single player. Show more.
Look, new classes. Oh man, look at all these perks. No, like, oh, like, talk about this, like the story.
Who's the,
like,
main character?
Yeah, who
I
are
can't
you?
Wait to argue with someone halfway across the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, the synthesis would be nice too. I mean, like games like Left 4 Dead. You know, you can play that alone, or you can play that with friends, and it's great. You know,
that's a good example of like single multiplayer.
Yeah, that's a genre I think that should be
single. Damn it.
Some multiplayer, simultaneous players.
Simultaneous game.
But yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's the proper future for that. You know, debate is combine them.
Yeah, just do it.
So let's kind of turn this into another mini debate. You know, let's just do this because it's fun and people will listen to us and get mad at us and send us hate mail about how we're dumb. Modern Warfare 3 versus Battlefield 3.
Oh god, here we go. I don't even want it. Okay.
See, I've played Battlefield 3, but I haven't played Modern Warfare 3. So what I'll do is I'll try and detach myself from having played Battlefield 3 and just talk about what they both offer.
I'm just gonna do the facts. Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3 are two different games.
Yeah, that's what it's gonna come down to. You know, we can't. It's hard to compare them, but it's inevitable at the same time.
Yeah, like Modern Warfare 3 is more fast-paced, small maps. Like, oh, I just want to go in there and shoot someone. You know, see all these cool colors on screen, fucking kill streaks and just everything. And then Battlefield 3 is the more slow-paced, huge maps, like actual tactical. Like playing,
yeah.
And you just can't compare that.
And it's such a weird thing to tackle, you know, because so many people will say, you know what, oh, Modern Warfare 3, like that sucks, because Battlefield 3 is so beautiful and it's got so pretty, such much prettier graphics, guys.
They're both pretty games.
And yeah, what I've saw one thing that I want to point out about the whole graphics debate is that Modern Warfare 3, to me, actually is a lot cleaner than Battlefield 3. Because
it looks nice. Like, I played it.
Yeah, you played it, but Battlefield 3 is very pretty. You can't deny that.
It is.
And especially on the PC where you can get the full experience. But on consoles, you know, there's a lot of imperfections. There's jaggies and there's like, you know, muddy textures sometimes. And they really become obvious, you know, when you put it in the game. You put the game in, bam, there's, you know, jaggies everywhere. But Modern Warfare 3, from the stream we did last night, I was watching, and while it's not as amazingly realistic and photo, you know, beautiful or whatever, it's clean. You know, there's no jaggies. Yeah. It's not less muddy textures, and, you know, it's just clean. Overall, it just looks better. Or not looks better,
I can come from the elitist standpoint, being that I played Modern Warfare 3 and Battlefield 3 on PC at the highest settings. They're both beautiful games in different ways.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, Battlefield 3 is more photorealistic, you know, rugged, actual army, you know, fucking gameplay and shit. And then Modern Warfare 3 is not, like, it's clean, there's nothing, like, it's just smooth.
Yeah.
It's more like what you want to see, I guess, like what people want to see, rather than the whole rugged. Like, it's just, they're two different things.
Yeah, and so, there you go. Modern Warfare 3 and Battlefield 3 are both video games. They're both fun. Don't
enjoy them both.
Don't fight.
Yeah, I'm gonna enjoy them both.
Put your hands in each other's hands, and, you know,
yell at each other.
Kumbaya. Video games, guys. They're video games. They're video games, okay?
Then don't get angry. Don't be me.
But I will say, you know, Modern Warfare 3 will dominate over Battlefield 3. I'm joking. But it will sell more because it's...
Yeah.
It is
just because of the name. Like, honestly, because of the name.
Yeah, and well, actually, it could be because it is, in my personal humble opinion, a more complete package. See, now this is where we're going to get some hate mail. No, because like I said, with Battlefield 3, the single player is such an afterthought to me compared to the multiplayer. Or it's not even an afterthought, it's that they tried so hard to beat Call of Duty in the single player. They tried so hard to make those set pieces that you always see in Call of Duty. You know, you're running to the plane, the explosion is happening, oh my god. And
I really don't know, because I haven't touched either. Which is why I've been so quiet during this entire segment, because okay. I don't what's Call of Duty and Battlefield?
No, kind of.
What's Call of Battlefield?
And that's why, like, it kind of ties into the whole single player versus multiplayer, because Call of Duty was a single player game that turned into a multiplayer game. You know what I mean? And then Battlefield was a multiplayer game that tried to turn into a single player game.
Tried.
Yeah, and so, I mean, some of the previous releases I think were actually pretty good in terms of single player, but this one was just such a letdown for me. I'm a single player gamer. I know people that, as surprising as this may sound, will play Call of Duty and not touch the multiplayer. They'll play games like Battlefield and not touch the multiplayer. And, you know, as much as like a mind blow that is for some people, it's true. There are gamers out there like that. I mean, sure, the majority might be the people that go straight into multiplayer, which I think is a sad sign for what the industry is turning into. But I just think that Call of Duty is the bigger package. It's the more complete package. It's got the single players well thought out. It's got the Spec Ops stuff, which is really cool. If you haven't seen the Spec Ops Revival, that looks really really awesome. And the multiplayer. I mean, they always do the multiplayer right. But Oscar does, you know, it's true what Oscar says, that they're two different games. You can't – it's just – let's put an end to the official debate. You can't. There is no winner. You know who's the winner?
Us.
Us.
Because we get video games.
People who play video games. Because they're both two different games that we get to enjoy. And you don't have to take allegiance. Sure, you might not enjoy it, but just move on.
Play Skyrim.
Go play Skyrim, or go play, you know, Battlefield. If you don't like that single player sucks, okay. Go play.
Play Saints Row Co-op. Saints Row Co-op.
There you go. So there you go, guys. Modern Warfare 3 versus Battlefield 3. Winner?
Us.
Video games. Okay, next up, we have a segment we call the Retro/Indie/Unheard Game of the Day. So this is where we're going to highlight, you know, games that are relatively unknown, and kind of just under the radar, just hidden, and we're gonna spotlight, you know, one of those. And today, actually, we're gonna spotlight two indie games, and unheard of, called Project Black Sun and Unepic. Do you want to go first, Oscar?
Sure.
Go ahead. Take it away.
I will. Recently, I was just, you know, browsing the internet, doing my usual, you know, scouring of new things. And I came across this game called Unepic. It's by an indie developer. It's made in Spain, so the dialogue and everything is in English. Like, you can have it in Spanish and blah, blah, but it's not, like, perfect. But it's good. You start off as this guy named Daniel, who's a normal gamer from this day and age, who loves sci-fi movies, and he plays like role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and World of Warcraft. And the game starts out where you and three of your friends are playing Dungeons and Dragons, and you guys have all been drinking a lot, and you're about to like go into this dungeon, and you say you need to go to the bathroom, and so you do. You go make your way to the bathroom. You're peeing.
Sounds great.
The lights go. Yeah, yeah.
Peeing action.
You get to pee. And someone turns off the lights, and you think it's your friends trying to play a joke on you. You're like, oh, guys, it's not funny. I don't know where I'm peeing. I'm peeing on the floor now.
I can't aim at the bowl anymore, yeah, guys.
Can't aim at the bowl. And you pull out your lighter, and you realize that you're now, like, inside of Dungeons & Dragons.
What?
Yeah, so, like, you're just like, what? Am I really drunk right now? Or did they put drugs in my drink? I'm freaking out. So, being, you know, the gamer that you are, you're like, well, I already know this whole world, so I'm just going to go along with what my character would do. So, Unepic is a mixture of, like, Metroidvania, role-playing, and medieval fantasy in a huge castle. And, it's really fun. Like, if you like the Metroidvania games or you like a side-scrolling RPG, you're really going to love this. Because, like, I was like, oh, it looks kind of I started playing it. I got really into it because I love platforming games. And I was talking about to Jamie and Nathan here about how I wanted to find a good RPG to play. And so I got into this, and it's really good. I think I'm, like, halfway through the game right now because this character, I'm not going to spoil it, who takes over your body, who's like your Navi, I guess, tells you that there's 8 bosses in this dungeon, and I've got through 4 of them, so I'm guessing I'm halfway through the game.
So it's an RPG? Like a point and click?
It's you control it. You control it. It's Metroidvania. Metroidvania with RPG.
Well, that sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. And you get a bunch of weapons you can use. You can pick up. There's a touch of Borderlands in it. Because, you know,
the loot gathering?
Yeah, the loot gathering and there's like.
Or probably more fitting Diablo-esque.
Yeah, there you go. Diablo would be a good. Because some of the weapons, you can choose from like. There's like 7 different kind of weapons you can find in the game. There's swords, daggers, maces, axes, like spears and like pole weapons. Mm-hmm. And then you have a bow and you have wands. But there's, you know, different kinds of wands, like short sword or like a thieves dagger or like a war mace. And that's already like expanding a lot on just normal weapons. And then there's special weapons you can find that's like the dark thief of daggers. And they have like, what it reminds me of Borderlands is that they have different colors to them to how rare they are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the rarity is of them because I haven't like really delved into finding super special weapons, but you know, some like bosses or some quests give you these special weapons, and it just reminds me a lot of Borderlands because I see the different color. I'm like, oh, this must be good, so I equip it.
It's shiny and it's blue.
Yeah, it's shiny and blue, and has a cool name. I have to equip it.
It's a dull sword of sharpening. Let's use it.
Yeah, and it's just really fun, and one of the things about this game that's really interesting is I don't know what this does yet. But throughout the game, there's to see, because everything is dark. Like, the entire game's pitch black, basically.
Oh, fun.
And you have to light these torches to light up rooms. And once you light an entire room, like, once you light up all the torches, like, they all flash. They go, bring, like, a little noise. And I guess from the map point of view, like, if you look at the map, the room is finally cleared. Like, it doesn't have a black square in it anymore. And it's just really interesting to have, like, the map is obscured until you light up the area with actual torches. And some rooms you'll go into and light, you think you light all the torches, but there's still that one dark spot. And you go into the corners, like, a torch on the floor. Like, what? When did I not light you? And it's just interesting to have, like, even more a different aspect that I've never seen to a game. Like, sort of like Amnesia. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have to light the torches with the tinder boxes.
Yeah.
But, like, it's pitch black if you don't light the torches, so you should.
Good luck seeing.
Yeah, good luck trying to fight enemies.
So, overall, recommend it to people?
I recommend this to anyone who likes video games.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah, it's if you like Metroidvania games, especially, like, or even just a good RPG, you're gonna like this, because you can, you know, you level up, you upgrade your stats, you know, you...
Humor? I heard there's humor.
Oh, yes, the humor in this game is, it's basically a gamer from the 21st century, so,
in,
you know,
like a medieval
all the
world.
All the pop culture, not pop, yeah, well, pop culture references, and, like, the asshole behavior.
The kind of, like, crude humor and stuff.
Yeah, it's just funny. Like, there's one scene in the game where you solve this puzzle in the room, and then there's this, like, orc standing near a door, and he has a quest bubble above him. So you're like, oh, I'm gonna go get a quest from him. You go to him, and, like, you talk. He tells you, oh, there's this like orb of, like, healing or something in there, and I need that back because someone stole it from me. And also, it's the mating season for my people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so the character, Daniel, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go in there, have sex with women. He's like, oh, perfect, you're strong and tall, you should be perfect for mating.
I'm like, oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, and then your Navi-esque character is like, are you serious? You're really going to do this right now? He's like, man, I haven't been laid in forever. I need to take this opportunity.
Stress reliever.
Yeah. And so you go into the room and you fight this boss, and then you can have sex with three orc women.
Oh, sweet.
That doesn't sound appealing.
Awesome.
To him it was. And it's just, like, interesting quests like that. Like, quests that you, like, not, like, fetch quests.
Wait. Any, so, like, that's actually the quest?
Yeah, that's the quest. Have sex with those three women.
That's a boss fight?
Yeah.
I'm playing this game.
Yeah, it's fun because you can actually see his.
Wait, what?
He has to get naked, and you can see that. So there you go. There's an incentive for all you girl gamers out there. You'd see penis.
Yes, I'm
get
down.
Some penor action.
I am down.
Some out of your daily video game peni. Routine.
Oh, and also a good. I forgot to mention this. There's you can cast spells too. Ooh.
Not
so you know you have your fire
guy.
Spells, ice spells, all your
magic penis spells.
Magic penis spells for all your sexual needs. And yeah.
That went downhill fast.
Everyone go check that out. Unepic.
Okay, and so I'll try and make mine a little shorter. I've been playing this game called Project Black Sun, and it's actually introduced to me by Oscar. It's like Unepic, it is a Metroidvania, very Metroidvania-esque game. It's pixel art. It's really pretty. The animation is really nice. The music is very catchy. But yeah, I've been playing it. I've actually been doing a Let's Play. It's up on the Modern Gamer or the Modern Gamer YouTube, so youtube.com/themoderngamervideo. The game is just really. It's just like a modern Metroidvania where they don't tell you much about what's going on, just kind of drop you into it, and you just that's pretty much how it starts. And it's really tough. it's an unforgiving game. You start out with only two hearts. You're in this like underground mine. Sorry, like your character's like the exposition is your character's running in the forest for some reason. And he falls into a hole, and that's how the game starts. And it's funny because your character's knocked out, and he's like, "Yeah, I fell into this hole, and now I'm gonna go find like my way out." And he stands up, and he has a gun, And I'm like, whoa, what kind of guy is this guy? He falls in a hole, pulls his gun out.
Always never leave home without your gun.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
You might fall in a hole.
Exactly, and then you're going to have to fight pig bats and rats. Because that's the first enemies you encounter are these bats and these little rats and little things to me that I take advantage of, you know, in today's, you know, game design. It's very kind of a traditional retro style game. It's like jumping and shooting. You can't do that. You can't crouch shoot. And so, like, I was immediately killed, like, the first time I played it, by a rat running at my feet and a pig bat flying at me. And I was mind blown. But the game is unforgiving, but at the same time, it's got that that feeling of accomplishment, like that all the old games had when you would get past a certain area and you would actually, you know, get through it. That's really, I love that. Not enough games have that these days. You know, you really are handheld through a lot of games these days. So the fact that I was actually challenged while playing this game is like, whoa. And no, but yeah, you can check it out. I started playing on our YouTube channel. I got a few videos up. Probably going to continue until I get super frustrated with it because it's hard.
That's what I did, and then I found on Epic.
Yeah, and then I'll quit and play on Epic. Yeah, but definitely check it out. It's really cool. Another game I just want to touch on that I haven't played too much of is called Gemini Rue. It's a point-and-click adventure game, and if you know me, you know I'm a sucker for those games. One of my favorite video game series is the Monkey Island series. But yeah, this game's called Gemini Rue. It's an independent adventure game. It's got voice acting, which is rare for these games. But yeah, it looks really cool. It's pixel art. They say it's kind of Blade Runner-esque. That's an awesome movie. And I'm going to start that soon. It's up on Steam for about $10. Heard it's really awesome, so might want to check that out if you're interested. Yeah, so those are the indie/unheard-of games of the day.
Go get them.
Go get them. Go play them.
I feel like playing them now.
I mean, indie.
Can we end it here?
All right. See you guys next. We're all going to go play on Epic and Project Black Sun.
No. But yeah, the reason I really want to push this segment of the game is because not enough, you know, these indie games and games that just kind of fly under the radar don't get enough coverage. So, you know, maybe me and Oscar and Jamie in the future just talking about these little games will change some developer's life. Maybe one day we'll stumble upon the next Minecraft and we'll tell people and then they'll buy it and then they'll tell their friends to buy it. Next thing you know,
hey guys, we become
rich and then we leave everyone. We're a great life.
Project Black Sun and Unepic are the next Minecrafts, guys, so do that. Okay, so the next segment is actually kind of an audio version of an article we have on the website, and it's called Jamie's Toy Box. If like I said earlier, Jamie does write a weekly article called Toy Box Thursday, where he features figurines and gaming related things like that are really cool. And now I'm gonna toss it over to Jamie, and he's gonna give you the audio version, the version that comes with Jamie's smooth voice.
Hey.
Not smooth enough.
Okay. Well, really the point of my articles is not really to review toys and figures. It's kind of a review. That's not intentionally. That's not like my first thought of a review. It's really just to show you something I think is cool and kind of showing you like this is not. Toys aren't just kids' things that you give a kid that he's preoccupied for a couple hours.
I'm not precise of a kid.
Oh, you're... and well, yeah, like it's not for kids. Not entirely just for kids. A lot of adults collect toys, me being one of them. And we're not just all entirely man children. And there's some collector value to these things. And one of the things I'd like to talk about is statues and articulated figures. Now, statues they're kind of not a whole giant debate, but there are some people who refuse to buy either or, because you know, just because for what they are, like people who really are into statues, like do not want to touch articulated things, because for the most part, sometimes they do look pretty bad. Sometimes, like figures with joints that are meant to move, are look kind of bad, because when you have a lot of articulation, you have to sacrifice the way the figure looks sometimes in order to move. And there are some people who love articulated figures who refuse to buy statues because they can't move, because you can't do anything with them. And I get it. Like you can't play with them. Oh, what's the point of this? This looks fugly. I don't want to touch this or spend any sort of my hard-earned money on this. But like, there's a distinct difference. There is, but you know, statues are meant really to be displayed and to be looked at. You can't do anything with them really, go ahead.
When you say that, you know, with statues there is a certain level of quality expected, since all you can do is look at them.
Yeah, that's another thing. Statues are way really expensive. that was a terrible sentence, but statues are very expensive. They can reach like $100-$150 depending on the quality, depending on even just sometimes what company does it. Mm-hmm. And you know, articulated toys generally, they're like retail stuff, or like sometimes they get expensive as sometimes $60. And that also depends on how they look too. So even articulated figures are expected not to look terrible too, but generally some people are actually put off by joints. Like a good line to kind of blur the line between like the way something looks and articulation is Hot Toys. Like you know what Hot Toys are, right, Nate?
Yeah, you told me a little bit about it. They do kind of like custom toys.
Like they acquire licenses for stuff, meaning like movie lines, like some Marvel movie lines and like DC, and they look great. Like have you ever seen a Bruce Lee Hot Toys, Nate?
Mm-mm.
It looks like Bruce Lee.
Hopefully.
And I don't know, it's and they can move well, and they look nice, yeah, but also it's expensive. Toy collecting is an expensive hobby.
I mean, is there a standout statue and a standout articulated figure that you may not have written about yet, related to video games, that you think people should like check out?
Well, I think people, well, not really people in general, but a lot of weeaboos like myself. I don't think I've written about it, but video game wise, I really like a lot of the Odin Sphere statues.
Oh yeah,
and that's
and the other series from that same developer,
Muramasa.
They had a really nice statue.
They have really nice statues, and articulated wise, See, that's kind of hard because
Snake.
Thank you, Oscar.
Snake, yeah, the snake figurine is really, really awesome. Yeah,
I love that one.
It's kind of Phoenix. See the reason sometimes that people, I guess, could say that statues are kind of iffy is because sometimes they don't really meet that level of quality, while there's some figures that are out there that are ridiculous quality, and they, you know, they actually have the articulation and the amazing quality that, you know, statues sometimes have. So I mean, I can see like, because like for example, that snake figurine you have is way more detailed than the Nathan Drake statue I got with the Uncharted 3 Collector's Edition. I mean, that's not the reason I got the Collector's Edition. I didn't even buy it myself, but you know, the statue that came with the Uncharted 3 Collector's Edition was actually kind of a disappointment, because it wasn't as detailed as I would have liked it to be, but at the same time, I got it kind of for free, so can't complain. But
yeah, you can't really.
But I mean, that's kind of like what you said. That's kind of part of the argument.
Yeah, it's a big part of the argument.
Yeah, because a lot of the figurines that you've done for Toy Box Thursday that are, you know, like the Leighton and the Snake and you know, they're really nice looking, you know, like,
yeah, they're really
beautiful.
Nice.
They're really beautiful and they're pieces of art. No, but yeah. And so that one statue I got, you know, kind of put me off to statues because like it wasn't that
what you expected.
Mind blowing. I mean, I have an Auron figurine from Final Fantasy X that's kind of broken now. But
which was not my fault.
Jamie broke the leg. And the figurine now is kind of a statue, and like, so I mean, it itself, this one came out in like 2005 or 6, and yeah, I've had it, and it looks more detailed than the Drake statue does. And so I mean, yeah, that's definitely part of the argument, I would think.
It could really go either or. Yeah. A lot of, generally, depending on how much it costs, you could kind of tell what kind of quality it's gonna have.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like the cheaper ones, they're not gonna look terrible, but they're definitely not gonna blow your mind.
Yeah,
actually, the cheaper ones are just stick figures. Like, this is a Link from Zelda.
It's a green. Popsicle
stick. Yeah.
Can't you tell? It looks so much like him.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. Look, you see the hat? That's a leaf, buddy.
See that other popsicle, the smaller one? That's a sword.
It's cost efficient, you know.
Yeah. It's wooden, just like the wooden sword. See?
Oh look! Oh, we're so.
And I handmade this myself.
You're getting some prime stuff right here. But yeah, so statues. Versus articulated figures. Everybody wins.
Video games
win.
No, but so is that the extent of your discussion today?
Well, last thing I probably want to say, statues, you want something nice to look at, something pretty to display out that where people can see it, you can generally get a statue. If you want, and if you have money for a really nice statue or figurine, go for it if you want. If you want something to fiddle with,
and still looks like nice, to, I think.
Yeah, that still looks nice. And like,
just buy snake. Buy a lot of snakes.
Just buy 10 snakes.
Buy 10 snakes.
Not the animal. Solid snake.
No, not the 10. Yep. Snakes are fun though.
No,
you can.
No, not real snakes.
Defanged snakes are fun.
Oh, well, no. Maybe. Well, then they could choke me.
They'll show up in your bed when you wake up to use the restroom.
Just buy a bunch of spiders.
Oh, okay. Moving on. No, but I want to actually kind of add on to your toy box. Do I have permission? Are you gonna you're gonna whip me?
No.
I wanted to talk about some of the gaming swag that's been going around lately.
Ooh, right.
Just recently. Sega sent us some really cool things. I got a replica Sonic the Hedgehog ring kind of thing. They only made
like, we can never die now.
They only made like 12,000, right? And we got one, so that was really cool.
Got like a random like 11,133.
You got number like, 12,000.
Something like that. And then yeah, like I said, the Uncharted statue, not a figurine. See? I learned something today. the statue that's really kind of low quality. It's not super low quality, but
it's just his face, his head,
and his face doesn't look like it doesn't even look like him.
It doesn't even look. It's just his head. Like the rest is okay, but his head is just like his hair is shitty. His face is shitty.
Yeah,
in its defense though,
and it's kind it's sorry cutting you off here, but
that's alright.
It's kind of ironic because you know Uncharted is such a beautiful game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the figurine kind of lacks on the details where, you know, the Uncharted series specializes in almost.
But yeah, in its defense, it kind of had to be, you know, like, done quickly. It's like they couldn't spend like probably a lot of time in it sculpting it.
And it was announced like last year. They probably could have been.
And probably because they have to manufacture, like mass manufacture
them. Yeah. And you have to meet the demand.
While usually it's kind of like, especially Sideshow collectibles, they usually kind of do like a special set of them. So, you know, they're not doing it that much. So that's understandable. But another one that I wish I could get my hands on is the, I think with the Skyrim special edition, it comes with this huge dragon statue.
Yes.
That looks ridiculous.
You get a life-size dragon?
Yes.
A pet dragon. You get a pet dragon.
You get a pet dragon?
Yeah, made by Sideshow Collectibles. no, but, yeah, it comes with this statue of a dragon that's just ridiculous. That's the kind of thing that I don't even know how much the special edition for Skyrim is, but
let's get our dragons to breed.
I'd be willing to... I'd be willing to pay the money for that, because that's just awesome. The statue looks ridiculous. And I think you even get a little hat.
Hats are fun.
A little Skyrim hat, so that's cool. I mean,
what is the hat? Like a fucking Viking helmet?
Yeah, no, the
yeah, actually, I the think helmet of the your dude. Eyes and stuff.
Oh, dude, I want one.
Yeah, it's like a little plush hat.
Oh, no.
And like, it goes over your eyes.
Yeah.
And
I want a real, like, steel
helmet
hat. Yeah, I want a real helmet. I'm gonna go around stabbing things and be like, I'm Skyrim! I'm
man Western! A man was arrested today. Walking around stabbing people, saying he was gaining experience points.
On the other side of town, a giant dragon was terrorizing the city.
Yeah, so that's what video games do. It's the power of video games. Jack Thompson's right.
They're really amping up those special editions.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Hell yeah, definitely.
Giving you a pet dragons
and
armor.
Yeah, armor to go attack your neighborhood.
Next, we're gonna talk a little bit about the website.
Website?
Yeah, the website. We have a website. The Tim G Cast is the. Is
wait when?
From the Modern Gamer.
What?
ModernGamer.com.
Everyone should go check that out. I don't even know what it is.
I'm checking it out right now. Hold on.
The Modern Gamer, TheModernGamer.com.
Oh, look at all these articles, man.
There are articles here.
There are a lot of articles. What we do is we spend a little bit of our day, every day, writing original articles. Every day, there's an original article on TMG.com, TheModernGamer.com. And you know, the gaming news, you know, the stuff we talked about earlier today, you can read that when it happens, rather than waiting for us to talk about it.
Yeah.
But you should still listen to us talk about it.
Yeah, you should.
But
who doesn't like our voices?
That's where you can see it. And so, you know, it's still growing. It's definitely still growing, and that's what I want to talk about today. There's a few things we're gonna be adding in the coming week, hopefully. We're going to be adding a proper search bar, a proper
tag. Now I could look for all this great stuff.
Exactly. A proper tag system and a swag, a beautiful staff page that's going to have little bios that we all wrote.
Now I could read about the people who work at this beautiful website.
You can meet us almost. It's like you go there and you'll see us and it's almost, it'll be like Harry Potter. And the pictures will be moving, and we'll talk to you.
That's amazing.
That won't really happen. But...
Hey, wait a minute! You guys are with TMG.
What?
I'm big fans.
You're part of TMG.
I'm a big fan.
Definitely, go and check out the website. That's, you know.
Yes.
We put a lot of work into it, and you know we'd love to get you guys to check out the site, read our stuff. Give us feedback. Hang out with us. Talk to us.
Suggestions, please.
Contact all of us. You know, talk.
Ooh, what's this I see? Gaming videos. We have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, everyone go to www.youtube.com/themoderngamervideo.
Yeah, we.
What do you find there?
You can find. Oh, what's this? There's trailers. There's Let's Plays from.
What?
From people like me and Nathan.
Hey, it's that Project Black Sun you guys were talking about.
Yeah. You can see the game in motion.
one of them that's already completed is Nightmare House 2 with me, Jamie, and Nathan playing it.
It was definitely a fun time.
If you guys want to just laugh at three adults crying at a video game, go check that out.
I had to change my pants like three times that night.
Definitely.
I think I yelled obscenities more than some people have in their entire lifetime.
I've had to change my pants night. More than anyone had to in their entire lifetime.
So there you go, guys.
Yeah, so definitely check out the website. Check out the YouTube channel. You know, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/themoderngamer. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/modern_gamer. You definitely check that out. And before we really start to wrap things up, at this point of the podcast, at the end of every podcast, what we're going to do is reveal the topic for next week's leaderboards. And if you remember from earlier in the recording, we did leaderboards, which was, you know, our personal favorite something about video games. So next week's is going to be kind of unorthodox. This week we did boss battles, but next week it's going to be our personal favorite idol animation. And if you don't know what that is, it's when, you know, you're playing a game like Zelda, you're playing Sonic, and you just kind of sit there. You don't do anything. And then the character will do something crazy, like, I don't know. But usually it's something an afterthought, but there's some really cool ones out there, and we want to highlight some of those. So next week, you got that to look forward to. Got tons of new news and awesome stuff. But before we officially sign out today, I wanted to give some thanks to, if you listen to the intro, that awesome rockin' intro theme was made by an awesome man.
It was made by a man. Just so we got that clear.
Not a woman.
God damn it. No, made by.
Not a boy.
Not sexist.
Not a dog.
Disclaimer: we are not sexist.
Smaller PS. Jamie is.
Gotta give.
It's made by a dog.
No, a man named AKA 10 Year. He is awesome. We decided to record a few nights ago, and I sent him an email, and next thing you know, he came back with that awesome theme, and he's done some awesome stuff. So definitely check him out. He's got an EP on Bandcamp. 10year.bandcamp.com. That's 10yr.bandcamp.com. You can find him on SoundCloud. That's soundcloud.com/10year. Again, 10.
Let me check this out.
YR. He's on Tumblr. 10yr. He's on Twitter. 10yr. He's got a YouTube account. Is a Xenophon Rock, spelled Xenophon Rock. This guy is awesome. You'll definitely hear a lot from him in the future. Along with TMG, he's a big fan and big supporter.
Whoa, this is good music, man. This is like chiptunes, 8-bit music.
Does a bunch of chiptune music, so definitely.
So if you're a fan of Onomatoguchi, Starscream, or just all those
NES music.
if you're a fan of NES, you're gonna enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely check him out. He's a fan of TMG. He helped us out, hooked us up with that awesome theme. Gonna hear some more music from him in the future for sure. Definitely check him out. And
wise for me.
Rise from your grave.
And before we check out, I would like to, but when we started the podcast, we sent out some requests for questions, and we got one.
Yes.
We got a question.
Oh, God, yes.
We've got a question.
Okay. For who? Who is our lucky?
It's actually from our friend Charizard, who wrote The Last Toy Box Thursday. She asks, I noticed the chiptune intro. Now I'm curious as to what's your favorite video game soundtrack. Wow.
Whoa.
She just ruined a future leaderboards. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna leave it to you guys to start it off. I mean, whoever, just jump in. You got it.
Favorite video game soundtrack?
Just off the top of your head, just bam.
Symphony of the Night, Castlevania.
That's a pretty good one.
That's an amazing soundtrack. That's
a good one. James, go.
I really like The World Ends With You soundtrack.
That's an amazing one too. So now you shat on me with that.
fucked you up, dude.
Oh, here we go. Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game soundtrack.
Done by Onomatoguchi.
Onomatoguchi, check them out. They're really cool.
Yeah.
So
then while you're doing that, go check out AKA 10 Year. Shameless plug.
Oh, yeah. So Scott Pilgrim, Castlevania, and The World Ends With You. Three awesome soundtracks.
Go buy those.
Very different sounding soundtracks, but all equally pretty awesome. I think we're done for now. I think we're done for the day.
We don't have a sign off.
That's true. We do not have a sign off. We don't have a proper way to say goodbye to you guys. So
I'd love to kiss you guys and say goodnight, but can't do that.
All we can do is talk. So what we want you guys to do is pick one for us. Just send us.
It could be anything.
Just send us on Facebook, on Twitter. You can send me an email, nate@themonogamer.com. Send us anything, a word, a phrase, a sound you want us to make at the end of the podcast.
Or even we could have separate ones. So if you want to send like me a personal one or Jamie, at reply us on Twitter. You know, at OSCAHH at Oscar, and Jamie is at Jamie Pronoble.
And I'm at Natoid, NATOID.
Go do that. Like, you could be like, I want Oscar to say he eats his own poop at the end of the podcast. And I'll be like, guys, I just want to tell you guys I eat my own poop. And I'll do that for you guys.
We'll do that for you because we love you.
We love you.
And, you know, we do this for you. I mean, as much as we talk about video games all the time anyway, so why not record for an hour or so? So I hope you enjoyed this episode.
I didn't.
Send us your feedback. Send us what you want to see more of, what you want to hear more of. Send us, you know, that sign-off, what you want us to say. We'll see you in a week. We'll see you next Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever this actually comes out.
Look forward to it.
Say bye, guys.
I eat my own poop.
I have a bag of Milky Ways.
There you go. Okay, guys.
Yeah.
See ya.
You didn't say bye. What's your sign off right now? That's not traditional
fire. Finish meatballs.
What? IKEA. IKEA is our sign off.
Bam. We're done. Okay, guys. See you later.